For those of you who are listening to this recording, the Lord has spoken to me about doing something here that is very special and very unique. And we're just using this term, Seek Week. It's a week that we are taking to seek God. We're going to start on a Sunday night and have a special communion service that Sunday night. Then on Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night and Friday night, we'll be doing some things very special. The Wednesday night will be a regular service. But Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, four nights. One night will be devoted to praying in the Spirit. Another night will be devoted to worship. Another night will be devoted to confession of the Word. And then the Friday night, it's going to be a combination of all of those. We'll start at 7 o'clock and we'll be here for an hour to an hour and a half. And I'm thinking it's probably going to be closer to just an hour, but it may be longer. We definitely want to be obedient to the Lord. The purpose of the Seek Week is for us, not just as individuals, but as a congregation, to become more united together and with the Lord. That doesn't mean that we're fragmented, but what it means is we're going to strengthen the bonds of relationship among ourselves and then also with the Lord. And it's for us as a congregation to be more spiritually prepared for Him to be able to take us to the next level spiritually to do what He wants to do. And during the praise and worship, at the end of it, when I came up here, the Lord just began showing me several things that I wasn't sure if I was supposed to just go ahead and share it with you tonight, but I believe that I am. And things that I share tonight may be things that you will hear in the future. And along with that, I encourage you that are here to remind those who are not that they'll need to get a copy of this. Because the Lord was showing me more about where He wants to take us and what is forming in us as a congregation right now. This whole thing of the change, it's an easy thing to teach, but it's a hard thing to teach. Because if you don't listen to it closely enough, It could come across to some people as some kind of an ego thing that we are on as a church. Well, we're better than you. Well, that's not it. One of the things that the Lord has helped me to understand about the Apostle Paul, when you read everything that he wrote, and just read it for what it is, there are times that he writes things that can come across as just being pure ego. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, called of God, you know, a servant. These things that he writes, and you know, you just read that and you can begin to think, man, this guy's kind of full of himself. But he wasn't. He gave instructions to churches like they were his employees. I mean, seriously, just go back and read everything he wrote. But there was no ego in this. What it was, he had come to a place of knowing who he was in Christ. He knew who he was in Christ, and he knew what God had called him to do. He knew where he was. Now, there were detractors, and he writes about that in some of these books, these letters that he wrote to the churches. There were detractors. There were critics. There were people that came against him. There were people who had been influenced by the naysayers, the critics of Paul, and they stopped giving into the ministry of Paul. They just cut him off. And in fact, he writes to the Philippians and he says, you know, for a while you guys were the only church supporting me. Well, he knew who he was. This is part of where God is wanting to take us as a church, into a place of knowing who we are. Not just as individuals, but as a congregation in Christ. He's wanting us to get to the place to where it is not a pride issue, it is a confidence issue. You know, like Paul wrote, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. I know who I have believed. I know. That's where God wants us to be. A confidence in knowing who we are as a body of believers. Every church has this potential. I want to make sure you understand this. Every church that names the name of Jesus has this potential. But not all congregations press deeper into God. Not all of them put forth the effort. In fact, some of them don't even believe in the effort that it takes. Some of them don't even believe there are things you can do on purpose to go deeper into God. They think that it's just one of these things. Well, you know, you sit back and you wait. God will do it whenever He wants to. Then they measure His want to by the size of the congregation. You can't do that. He wants to, regardless of the size of the congregation. He will take anybody. It doesn't matter to Him if it's a congregation of 10 or 10,000. It's okay with Him. You know, like whosoever will. He's ready for it. Not every church has made a determination to do what we do. Not every church truly believes in the value of worship the way we do. Now, I know we're all at different levels of belief. I understand that. But I'm just talking about if you put us all together and mix us all up. Just, you know, the general consensus of our spiritual condition. We're not walking on water. We're not going around and, you know, putting the funeral homes out of business. We're not emptying the hospitals. But yet we are at a deeper place in God than most churches. That doesn't mean we're better or highly favored above other people in other churches. It just means we've seen principles in the Word of God concerning prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. And we've done those things enough to get to where we are. Now, could we have done more of them? Well, sure we could have. Could we be further along than where we are right now? Well, absolutely. But we are where we are. Now, those things have taken us to where we are. God is wanting us to go further. That means we have to do more of this. Whatever that means to each person, however it relates to the time you have available as an individual, but collectively, He's wanting us to do more. We can. We can do more. He's wanting us to get to the place of being a congregation regardless of the number of people who would say, well, I'm a member of Grace Christian Center. I mean, we don't have, you know, specific, you know, membership procedures and so forth. You know, as I've shared in the past, if you believe that God has sent you to this church and this is to be your home church, well, then you're a member. Very simple. Very simple. But regardless of the number of people who say they are a member of this fellowship, locally or long distance, wherever you are, God is wanting us to do more so He can give us more. Now, when I say give, don't think, you know, well, money. No. To give us more of the kingdom, more of His presence, more of His glory, more of His anointing, more of everything that God can give to people and to churches to accomplish what He wants done in this world. We're at a place to where He wants to do things in us and through us that few churches have ever done in history. I don't say that lightly. Based on what He was showing me minutes ago. He wants to do things in us that have been that few churches in history have done. Now that doesn't mean other churches haven't, but when you take into account the sum total number of churches from, you know, well, in the last 2,000 years, okay? I mean, that's a lot of churches. And very few have gotten to this point. Now there are some that have, and some that have gone beyond, gone further in this. Okay, we are at a place to where God is saying, okay, look, you guys are there. In other words, you've been pressing toward the mark, and you know, in a 10-mile race, you're at the 1-mile marker. I mean, I'm trying to put this in terms we can understand. But we've reached a place in God, and He wants to go further. And it's a combination of things. It's the prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word that each of us have done. It's also what we've done collectively as a congregation. It's the truth that has gone forth from this pulpit, not just from me. We've had others who have come here and sown truth into our lives. We've had others that have maybe varied from truth. They're no longer coming and ministering. And because of all of this, He just said, there's more that has been sown in you than you realize. That there is dormant seed of truth on the inside of us that He is preparing to activate with His glory and His anointing to bring forth fruit we've never seen. Hallelujah. Hey, you're hearing, I'm hearing this for the first time too, just like you guys. We're at that place. I have no idea what it is He is seeing in us, but apparently there is a storehouse. There's a good treasure, like Jesus said, in here that's got more in it than what we realize. Well, praise God. Now, we have to do our part to help bring it out. You know, praying in tongues is going to help water that word to bring it forth. Anyway, one of the things that He's wanting to do in us, one, that sounds so conclusive, among the many things that He's wanting to do in us, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, because He reminded me of this passage here a little bit ago. And we're going in a whole different direction. I can tell now we're going in a whole different direction than what I thought we were going to go. And that's okay. We need this. I need this. All God's children need this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's almost like I'm clueless. No. It's like I'm getting ready to crest over the horizon to see what lies ahead. I can remember many years ago, back in the early 70s, I was in the Dayton Rotary Boys Choir. And one year, our annual concert tour, we went out west. We were headed toward Colorado. We were in buses, the big tour buses. We were on I-70, and I can remember, as we were headed west on I-70, once you get past Kansas City, there is a ton of nothing. as far as the eye can see, that's all you see, is just nothing. Well, anyway, in the distance, I still remember this today. Looked up ahead, and there were these clouds in the sky and all that, and thought, well, it looks kind of neat up there. And we kept driving. And then we crested like this little hill on I-70, and as soon as we did, boom, there it was, Rocky Mountains. And I realized that it wasn't clouds we were seeing, that was the snow on top of those mountains. But we couldn't see the rest of the mountain. All we could see was that white. And I thought it was clouds. And as soon as we went over this little hill, There it was. I mean, all those mountains, I could not believe what I was. I'd never seen anything like this. That's one of the joys of taking that super long driving trip, is to have that moment. Well, the closer we got, the more incredible those mountains were. I'd seen the Smokies before. I'd never seen anything like this. And we kept driving closer and closer, and I just was awestruck. And that's where we were headed. We actually stayed in Rocky Mountain National Park, there in Estes Park. In fact, when Kathy and I were out there a couple of years ago on vacation, we stayed at the YMCA of the Rockies. Gorgeous place, man. And remember, it's been like 30-something years since we had been out there. And I pointed out all the things. We did this here, this here, this here. I could still remember it. And when we were driving out of the YMCA of the Rockies, we came around the corner. I said, that building right there is where I stayed. That's where we were housed. And I said, you see that room right up there? That's the room I was in. Seriously. And I even told her how I climbed out. I mean, we're like 4 or 5 stories up, and I climbed out across. You don't even want to hear that story. But that's kind of what I feel like right now in my spirit. Is I can see the clouds, but they're not clouds. Got the imagery? Well, for us as a congregation, He's wanting to use us in ways that are absolutely incredible. Most people think in terms of, wow, we're going to get people healed, aren't we? Well, we're going to get people delivered and saved and all this other. Well, that's part of it, but there's more to it. Now, in this passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and he said, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or we remind you to take into consideration, think about this, of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Well, that would be the Philippians. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And what he's getting ready to do is describe that, you know, these folks went through a difficult time financially. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. They looked at their situation, and they evaluated their situation by the natural circumstances. In other words, they recognized the problem, but they looked beyond the problem and beyond what they in the natural could do, and made a determination, we are willing to go beyond what we see in the natural. We're willing to do what people say cannot be done. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They got word to Paul. They didn't just keep this to themselves. Now this is important. They didn't just keep this to themselves. They got message to Paul. And they said, Paul, here's what's going on in Macedonia with us. But we're not looking at that. We acknowledge it, but we're not in agreement with it. Instead, we want you to know that we are willing to go beyond our natural circumstances and be connected with you in the spirit, if you will, in this fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They were facing hardship, but they were looking beyond their hardship to other needs outside of Macedonia. What do they need in Ephesus? What do they need in Corinth? What do they need over here? What do they need over there? We are willing to partner with you, Paul, in meeting needs. And in verse 5 he said, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first, now look at this, gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. First thing they did was have Seek Week. Do you see the concept here? They knew that different people in their congregation, everybody's fighting their own battles. Everybody's at a different level of financial whatever. Some may struggle, may have been struggling more than others, and some, you know, maybe they really weren't struggling too much, but collectively, there was a challenge. And they said, you know what? Sure, there's a challenge right now, but here's the deal, Paul. We're going to partner with you to meet the needs of all these other situations. And I'm paraphrasing big time here. Paul's scratching his head thinking, okay, we'll do that. They prayed us with much entreaty. No, Paul, don't disagree with us on this. So he's like, okay, guys, you know, listen, all right, I accept this from you. Don't know for sure exactly how you're going to accomplish all that, but I accept this. Fine, we're now in fellowship. And they said, great. Because the first thing we're going to do before we send you one penny, before we send one dime anywhere else, we're giving ourselves to the Lord. We are going to commit ourselves unto Him. Now, they were already Christians. In essence, what they were doing was saying, we are going to lay down more of our own agenda, and we are going to yield more of our time to seek the Lord. That is the first thing we're going to do. And that's what they did. Because when you look at this, it says, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you, Corinthians, the same grace also. In other words, you guys in Corinth, think about this example. Consider this. He said, therefore, as you, Corinthians, abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. What's he talking about, this grace also? Of accepting the responsibility of ministering beyond your home church. He says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He's saying, verse 9 is the way you can do this. Here's your answer for the increase you need to be what God desires of you. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Out of that which ye have. Out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Now here's what he's saying. You guys, out of what you have, out of what you have, here's what you're to do. You're to give. And your giving is not to meet your needs. Your giving is to meet the needs of other churches. See this? This is where God is taking us. And what He's showing me, what He was showing me here just a little bit ago, we are now at a place to where if we choose, we are going to be able to exercise our faith to believe in finances. Finances not just for us, but for other ministries. Now, somebody could easily ask the question, well, let them believe for their own self. I mean, come on. Now, and I understand what you mean by that. Really, I do. Let's think of it like this. What if they're not at a place where God can use them this way? See, we look at ourselves and we think, okay, Brother Martin, you know, you shared here not too long ago that after you went to Kenya, the giving took a nosedive. It did. The giving went down after the trip to Kenya. You can measure it throughout the entire year. Now, I can tell you why that happened. It's because we went to Kenya. We went over there and literally tore some things down, some strongholds down of the enemy that are not going to be rebuilt. They're not going to be rebuilt. Satan's really upset. So, and I don't know how he works all this stuff, but he's worked on people to hold back on their giving. Now, that doesn't mean people have gotten mad and saying, well, I ain't giving there no more. But maybe he's attacked people in the area of car repairs. Or, I mean, Kathy and I here recently, it came time to replace the furnace and the air conditioner. Maybe that's how the attacks have hit people. I mean, I don't know. This isn't simply about attitude. It's about whatever it takes. That's what he's been trying to do. So we would look around here and we'd think, okay, well, boy, I tell you, you know, that you say that the giving's gone down. Now, that's not a permanent thing. I mean, we win this battle, all right? We win this battle. And you take a look around here, I don't see any millionaires sitting in the congregation. You know, so just how do you figure this is going to be done? By following the example that's been given here. You give yourself to the Lord first. In other words, it's a change in perspective in that, okay, you know what, God? We can believe for money for ourselves, for our individually and for this ministry. However, if we're at a place in you to where you know that we have the ability now to believe in money that can be used to help other ministries, okay, then we're going to do this. And he is seeing in us a level of faith we don't know is there. I mean, can you feel it? I can't. You understand what I mean? There aren't any goosebumps or wigglies going on inside of me. You know, I got the faith flutters. No, I don't know what that means. Faith isn't something you feel. Faith is something that exists. I mean, it's a non-entity. You can't touch it. It's a non-tangible, an intangible. But God's looking at us and he's saying, you know what? You're at a place now, you can start doing this. In other words, this is one thing Satan does not want us to hear. Because that means if we as a congregation begin to zero in on this, and we start making these confessions, like this one here, you know, 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. That is, I have just spoken life. I've just spoken life, because it's God's word and his word is alive. I have just spoken life. And then I turn it around and just, Father, I thank you for this grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you that we are rich. Rich unto you, God. We are rich. We are rich. I'm not speaking for myself, God. I'm speaking for this ministry. We are rich. So that we can help the Corinthian churches of the world, the Macedonian churches of the world. We are rich. We are rich. Every deposit has way over $5,000 in it. $10,000. Do you follow? I thank you, Father, that ministries or that people and organizations all over the world are sending money in continually. We are a conduit. It's coming into us. And then we are distributing, Father. We're doing this. Because, you can jump over here, 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Father, I thank you for your grace. It is flowing to us. By faith, I and the rest of the people in this church are accessing this grace on behalf of the ministry. You're going to take care of me. I know that. I'm not putting me first in this. I'm putting your work first in this. And I thank you, God, for making all your grace abound toward this ministry. That this ministry always has all sufficiency in all things and abounds to every good work. And that includes what we are doing around the world helping these other ministries. That's where we are now. We're at the place to where we can begin doing this. Philippians 4:19 goes right along with it. But my God shall supply you all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I mean, 2 Corinthians 9:8, and Philippians 4:19, those three verses right there, man, those can be your weapon verses, your confession verses. Because every time you confess these, you're speaking the life of God. You're speaking the word of God relative to what he wants to see us do. We are at a place to where we can do this and begin to see this impact expand. And it's not based upon the numerical numbers that we see with our eyes. It's based upon how we exercise our faith. And then continue developing our faith in the process. It is not a burden. It's not a financial burden that God is laying upon our shoulders. If you want to use the word burden, it's a faith burden. In other words, he's saying, you want a burden? Okay, here's an easy one to carry. Speak my word. Use your faith to bring about this change. You know, the money is out there in the world, guys. It's out there. It's just a matter of using. Look, the money is out there, and the money is being passed around somewhere. It's always, the money is always flowing. Always. Always. There are people out there right now. See, we don't live in the upper echelon of the financial world. We're not used to thinking this way, but there are people out there right now, millionaires, who are looking for things to do with their money. They're looking for places to give their money away. You know, some guy here recently just gave, I forget how many hundreds of millions of dollars it was to something. I just read briefly about it. And he's only about 30 years old. Internet money. You know, it's out there. It's not that it isn't out there. We're so used to looking at what we see with our natural eyes, we fail to recognize that God knows where every penny, every ruble, every franc, every euro, every shilling, every he knows where it all is. He knows where people have dropped it on the street. It hadn't been picked up yet. Heard a story at lunch today about somebody who lost $600 cash from a paycheck. God knows where that $600 is. It might be hiding behind a bush still, years later, just waiting for somebody to pick it up. God knows this. Think of it like this. He's up in heaven saying, okay, you guys down there at a place now to where you can begin using your faith to believe this in. Now, I'm ready to do my part as Almighty God and move upon the hearts and minds of people and organizations, businesses all over this world to get that money into you. But if you don't use your faith, then I cannot release my grace. See this? We access grace by faith. And he's telling us in two verses here in 2 Corinthians about the grace and how it's directly connected to the increase. We have the ability, just for example, you all know that Kathy and I went over to Migori, Kenya, and ministered. We have right here, right now, in this congregation, the faith to believe in what is necessary to turn Megiddo into a capital city in the kingdom of God. I'm not saying there aren't Christians there now. I'm talking about a supernatural city for Christ. We have the ability to believe in the finances necessary to accomplish what is necessary. Electricity, water, Bibles, computers, whatever. We are at a place now to where we can start believing this. This is what we can do. We have a standard set for us here in the Word. We have the ability to believe in the finances to cover the expenses for those who are wanting to come here. For those three couples we were talking about, we have the ability to believe the money in to cover the plane tickets. Oh, how much are those plane tickets? Let's just say $2,000 a piece. $2,000 a piece? You know how much I make? Oh, I didn't realize we've been praying to you all along here. Trust me, God's not going to answer you that way. Father, I need, you know how much I make up? He says, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I own the hills. You know, I can help you out. I need your faith. I've got the grace. I need your faith. We're at a place now to where we can do this. That we can... do you realize how much we've already done as a ministry? We've done things people, when they hear about it, they say, how can you do this? You got how many attending and you're doing what? How are you able to do this? How can you accomplish these things? It's like, well, you know, trust God. How else are you going to say it? You trust God. We have the ability to pay for the expenses of those couples to come over here. For everything. Money has come in to cover some of the expenses. Commitments have been made to cover some of the expenses. But we can believe in the money to cover their plane tickets. And extra for travel expenses. You know, when you have a layover in the airport, you might want to eat. Some of these layovers can be hours and hours long. Got word today that Pastor Bronk and Candy are going to go with us to Kenya on this trip in August. Now, they over there, Pastor Ken in Kenya, in Megiddo, he had originally said, now next year I want you to come and I want you to bring Pastor Dave and Brother Gary and Brother Pastor Bronk. And I told him, I said, well, you know what? I will mention this to all of them. I said, but you need to know ahead of time that unless there's some kind of miracle of God, you're not going to get all four of us at the same place at the same time like this. I said, maybe one of us. And he was okay with that. I said, but I will. And I did. I mentioned it to all of them. And, you know, speaking with Bronk, you know, we've been talking about this and he's been praying about it. And he let me know that today, during their church service this morning, God spoke to him and said, you're going to Kenya. Now, we have the faith to believe in the money for all their expenses. Do you understand? This is a whole different way of looking at things. Well, use your own faith. I mean, you got a church. You pastor a church. Get your own people together. Let them do it. Bless God, we got enough problems of our own. Where in the world do you get that from the Word of God? Paul makes it very clear. The Macedonians said, hey, we're partnering with you to meet the needs of other churches. Paul, we're going to give. Now, you use it. You use it however the Lord leads you to use it, but we're doing this. That was their attitude, their willing attitude. But they gave themselves to the Lord first. It is no longer about our new building. It's no longer about our new video camera. It's no longer about upgrading our website. We are a part of the kingdom. And if accomplishing God's kingdom purpose means we help finance the video internet ministry of the Family Prayer Center in Immokalee, Florida, that is what we do. If it means that we help the prayer center in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and getting 10,000 more of Pastor Dave's books printed, that's what we do. That's what it means. It isn't about us. We have gotten to the point now to where we have to stop simply believing for our needs to be met. We're now at a place to where God wants us to believe for the kingdom's needs to be met. You understand the concept in that? To believe in what's necessary. Not to help every church, but those that God would say, minister here, do this there, help this group over there. We're at a place now to where we can do this. And somebody might say, yeah, but man, open your eyes and take another look at the number of people that attend here. Okay. Now what? Don't you get it? You mean like Gideon didn't get it? You mean like the little 120 in the upper room didn't get it? I mean, what else is it you don't want me to get or don't think I get? No, I do get it. Do you remember what God said to Gideon? You know, he starts off with like 30,000. You know, 20,000 go home. He's like, well, how do you win a war like this? And then God speaks up and said, you still have too many. Gideon says, "What? Too what? He says, yeah, tell everybody to go down and take a break, get a drink. And the ones that, you know, cup with their hands and all this, you know, keep those. He ends up at 300. 300. And the enemy was routed. Not only was the enemy routed, but plundered. And he just had a little church of 300. And they weren't even born again. Well, we're born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. We have the edge. We have the advantage. The truth is, this would be easier to present of a church to a church running 20,000 people. Do you know, I'm not making this next part up. It's so mind-boggling, I have to lay this foundation that I'm not making this up. Do you know that there are churches where they have received an offering in one service of over $1 million? I'm talking about an extra offering, like for a guest speaker or something like that, a special need. Oh yeah, it's not uncommon in those really big churches to receive an offering for a guest speaker that runs anywhere from $50,000 to $350,000, $400,000. One offering. How much are you going to get by the end of the week? Yeah.
You got to be kidding me. People give like that?
Well, see how we've limited our vision? They can give it here just as good as they can give it anywhere else. God can move in their hearts to do that.
Well, how's he going to do that?
But you have a lot of questions, don't you? It might be good for that angel to visit you like he did Zacharias and silence your lips till we got that money. Now, you know I'm just having some fun here with this, but what I'm trying to do is help you understand what God's showing me as I'm standing up here and what he showed me toward the end of the praise and worship. We are at a place now to do what the world says is impossible. And you know what? That means he gets the glory for it. Because in the natural, nobody, a congregation this size, unless they're all millionaires, no church can do what he's laying before us and saying, you guys can do this now. You're at a place where you can do this. And really what he's doing, he's saying, you can do this, but it's up to you. So what we need to do then, individually, is begin to intercede on behalf of this ministry, not me, the ministry, so that we can do these things. So that we can cover the expenses of those three couples to fly over here from Kenya to be here in April for our conference. We pay for it. We just transfer the money to them and say, here, buy your tickets. Everything's fine. So that we can have the money for Pastor Bronk and Candy to make this trip. See, they have, as far as I know, they still have a mortgage on their church building down there. Well, see, we don't. This is all paid for. Hallelujah. And I want to be in a place to where if God wants us to use the finances to help and pay for the expenses of this trip to Kenya for Pastor Bronk and Candy, we'll do it. I didn't say loan. There's no loaning in the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? No, it's a matter of we are a kingdom outpost here. They're a kingdom outpost in Immokalee. Now, in the military, if you need reinforcements, you send people from one outpost to the other outpost to help them out. Do you not? Well, what's the difference then? See, it's like God is wanting to take us and put us in a place of being an example to other churches. We're not perfect. We're not you know, emptying the funeral homes and the hospitals. In other words, we're not at, you know, super Christian, you know, hyper faith, all that kind of, we're not at that level yet. But we're at a place of promotion in the kingdom. We're at a place where God wants to use us, and it's not because, again, that we're better than anybody else. It's everybody else could do this. It's because we've made a decision to go to a place, and listen, we didn't even know we were going to be at this place. 5 years ago, God didn't say, well, now, if you guys keep, you know, eventually 5 years from now, or, you know what, you're going to be at a place to where so on and so on. He never said any of that. That's because we would have had a finite goal. When we're supposed to be pressing on infinitely. Never thinking we've arrived. Now consider this though. If we're at this place now to where God says, okay, you can be believing for this, it'll happen. Doesn't mean, you know, okay, well, praise God tonight. Well, I'm going to confess those verses a few times. Next Sunday, you just wait, Pastor Jim, $5 million coming in, buddy. Well, you know, I hope so. Seriously, I mean, no arguments there. What I'm trying to do is to help you understand, you don't blink your eyes and it happens. But it means what we do is we start pressing in. Draw our battle swords. You know what I'm saying? Because the devil wants to fight this. He wants to keep it from happening. We're at a place to where we can start making a difference in the kingdom of God around the world like never before. We're at a place of being able to do things for God in the kingdom that a church like this should not be able to do by the world. The world standards, religion standards, should not be able to do. We're at a place where God is saying, you know what? I'll take your little Gideon's army here. I'll take your little 120. I'll change the world with you. I'll use you to do this. And I'll start now. See, this helps me to understand even more why God impressed upon me the concept of a seek week. And there'll be more seek weeks. Not as an inconvenience, but bless God as more steps forward. And this is not, again, a burden upon individuals. Well, I got to give more. No, you know what? You give what the Lord's telling you to give. That's all there is to it. This is not a burden on you. It's just, we need to see this, get a hold of this vision, get a hold of this concept, believe this, that God is saying, you guys can do this because of where you are in me. I'm now able to use you at a level I couldn't use you before. To me, this means that our conference coming up in April is going to be more spiritually intense than any conference we've ever had. I don't even know what that means. I don't know how that intensity manifests in the natural. I don't know. I just know there's something there. And you know, you say that about every conference. But because of what God has been sharing with us about the change, you know what? People are going to be coming in, and He's going to be touching them out of the change that has taken place in us. And hopefully they'll be different. Go home different and retain the difference. We're at a place where God wants to begin using us to strengthen other churches in their walk with God. We're at a place to where God wants us looking with kingdom eyes than with Beaver Creek, Ohio eyes. That makes sense? If we can help another, if we can help, again, let's just use Pastor Bronx Church. If we can help that church grow to 5,000 people, glory to God. That's 5,000 people in the kingdom we're a part of. Do you remember what happened when David had his army? And a bunch of those guys, they got kind of scared. They didn't, you know, a bunch of them went back and stayed with the ladies and all this other. And man, you know, the warriors went out and they win the battle and they got all the spoils and so forth. And David said, okay, now when we get back, we're going to be sharing with the other guys. And some of the ones that had fought with him said, what are you, crazy? I mean, we put our lives on the line. Are you nuts? We're the one that had to shed the blood. We risked dying out there. You think we're supposed to be sharing with them? And David said, hey, we're all Jews. We're all part of the same family. They played a role back there protecting our wives and children. They did a part in this. So you know what? Yeah, we're going to go back there and we're going to share the spoils with them. Here's what I'm getting at. We do our part. And if our part results in that church in Immokalee growing to 10,000 people, that's going to happen, don't you? When we get to heaven, we share in the spoils. Very simple. We are at a place now to where He can start using us in a broader kingdom perspective than ever before. Because in part, we're at a place now to see it differently and to accept this and to say, you know what? All right, this building's held out for a long time. If it holds out till Jesus comes back and we're still here, praise God. Let's do our part. Let's do our part. We have a responsibility. Say it like this. A lot of churches say yes, but you know, you have a responsibility to your community. You know, the number one responsibility that we have to our community is to grow and conform to the image of Christ. That's our number one responsibility. Outreach and all this other stuff can be birthed from that. But our number one responsibility is to mature spiritually to become like Jesus. That's the best thing we can do for our community. I'm excited about this. I really am. You know, I've been praying for a long time. God, show me what's going on. Show me what's happening. Show me what you want. Show me, just show me. Help me understand it from your perspective. And He's begun doing this, and I'm passing these things on to you with this whole issue of change. One of the biggest things that Satan would want, well, one of the areas of attack would be feelings of, this is going to mess up my life. No, it's not going to mess up your life. Think of it like this. It's going to burn up a lot of the chaff in your life. And I'm not saying there's sin. I'm talking about just stuff. Doesn't really need to be there. It'll burn up a lot of the chaff in your life. You're going to become more focused. You're going to have a greater revelation of Christ, a greater revelation of who you are in Christ. Your life is going to become more balanced in Him. You're just going to begin to see things differently. And it won't mess up your life. It will enhance your life and make your life better. We're at a place that, you know, Father, just, I'm asking you, help everybody who hears this to see it this way. The eyes of their understanding to be enlightened. We're at a place that I know brings joy to the Father's heart. We're at a place to Walk on the water with Jesus, figuratively speaking. We're there. Let's not let Satan use a device against us to hold us back. Anytime that you have, I'm going to call them negative thoughts about here, what God is doing, you need to recognize instantly that is not of God. It's not. I'm not saying that, well, you know, that one song during the pre-service worship, that's not really my favorite song. That is not what I'm talking about. You guys know what I mean. Cast it down, man. Cast it down, because it's just Satan trying to destroy, steal, kill, and destroy. To bring about problems, to stop what God is wanting to do. Dude, you're here for this. Those of you watching that long distance, but you're still a part of it, you're here for this. Do you know how many Christians on earth are never going to be at this place? I don't mean this address on the street. I mean at this place spiritually. How many Christians are in churches that will never lead them to this place in God? And here we are. This is amazing. And I want every one of you in here to be encouraged. Every one of you watching who are part of this, be encouraged in this. Do not let up on your prayer. All these things. The prayer, the fasting. I talked to Kathy here the other day about, you know, an increase in fasting. For me, don't let up. Increase as much as you're able to increase. No burden. No pressure. Just increase as you're able to increase. These confessions, these verses that we saw, begin using those. Speaking those. For the kingdom purposes. God will bring about the blessings for your own life too. And just think about all the people around the world whose lives are going to be changed for all eternity because we are being obedient to the Father. And you guys get to stay here. Kathy and I will be the ones on the planes for 12 hours. Oh man, if I could just. Free from a tailbone. Oh, glory. I don't know. To me, this is incredible. God looks down at us. A bunch of people getting ready to stuff our bellies with pizza. And he says, yep, I'll use that bunch. Hallelujah. Go ahead and stand. If you want a title for tonight, Change in Responsibility. Change in Responsibility. Man, this has been good tonight, I think. I've enjoyed it. And it's encouraging to me. Very encouraging. Man, it ought to be encouraging to you guys too. We're not just spinning our wheels. We've been making progress the whole time. Hallelujah.